But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west, and I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. So, like I said to the kids, last time we talked about our identity in Christ. Today we're going to be talking about our new name. And my wife and I, we never had a problem naming our children. We're fairly old-fashioned when it comes to lifestyle choices, dress, raising children, and yes, choosing names. We have four children. We have Clara, Olin, Declan, and Ingrid. Guess which name doesn't belong? Naming children has never been a difficult task for us. We thought of names right off the bat, and we both agreed with no trouble at all. That is until child number three. We thought at first that this task would be equally as easy as the first two. Find a family name that we both liked and our ancestors agree on it, and there we go. And so we searched our family trees, and I quickly realized that my family had a rather uncreative way of coming up with baby names. What they would do is open a history book, they would close their eyes, and they would point, and the first name that they came to was their baby names. There was a Christopher Columbus Weir, George Washington Weir, William Wallace Weir, Benjamin Franklin Weir, Thomas Jefferson Weir, and yes, there was a Jesse James Weir. They really stuck to it, didn't they? Obviously, we didn't want to go that route. So all these founding fathers and discoverers and Scottish warriors, they were good people. They did great things, but Holly and I decided to go in a different direction. And that's when I chose my own personal hero, the greatest American to ever live, Audie Murphy. That would be the name of my son. And then Holly looked at me and said, maybe we need to think about something else. And I looked right back at her and I said, this is the mountain that I will die on. This is his name. And she jokingly said, find the mountain, we can make that happen. And she said, look, we're Irish and we're Scottish, and this name Declan is Irish and Scottish, and it means man of prayer. And we debated this for months, until the day came when he was born and the Social Security nurse came into our room. For every hour on the hour, she asked if we had a name, and we kept telling her to come back. Finally, the time for checkout came the next day. We still didn't have a name. But my moment had come. Holly was gone, and I was alone with the Social Security representative. And my dream of having a son named Audie Murphy was about to come true. I proudly told her that we have a name. And she looked at me strangely as I was stammering. The struggle was real getting that name out, knowing that I would how upset my wife would be. I got over my pride, and I told her that the name of my son would be a man of prayer, Declan Murphy Weir. I got the middle name at least. And I'll tell you that this little guy, lives up to his name. He prays every single day and every single night. 6 years later, though, I still call him Audie. Naming a person is a very huge thing. And it's very important process. It is serious, and I believe it is one of the top three most important factors in not just forming a child's development, but their very personality. The name has lasting consequences, and if you really get down to it, it's a very spiritual thing, what you name a child. Even during the creation, God named Adam, Adam named Eve, and they named their children. But as we read on in Genesis, we see God giving new names. Abram, meaning high father, to Abraham, meaning father of a multitude. Jacob, meaning caught by the heel, to Israel, meaning God prevails, fighter of God, and God preserves. Sarai, meaning argumentative, to Sarah, meaning princess. This continues on and off through the Old Testament, but it doesn't stop there. It continues on into the New Testament. Saul, meaning prayed for, to Paul, meaning small, humble. Simon, meaning he is heard, to Peter, meaning the rock. There's another aspect to this new name, though. These names are more than just names. They're also more than just there to identify or even talk about somebody's identity. They describe the person's character in the Bible, and even their actions for good or for bad. For instance, Daniel, meaning God is my judge. Daniel witnessed prophecies that often condemned from kings to entire nations. David, meaning beloved. This follows David's character as a man after God's own heart. Gabriel means strong. This angel appears in many instances in Scripture to give announcements, both good and terrible. And he is a part of the angelic armies. Gabriel emulates the word strong. Peter again, meaning rock, the one on which that Christ would build his church. And the renaming, it doesn't even stop in the New Testament. It continues to go on. There's this whole group of people that God will rename, and we see this in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. It says this, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. And so from the beginning of time, we had God naming, and then he renames, and then he continues to rename. And you think it stops in the Old Testament? Oh no. Oh no. It continues. So who is this group of people? Who is these people that will have a new name? It says to him who overcomes. So let's go back to the scripture of what we read today in Isaiah. It says this, I have called you by a new name. You are mine. You shall pass through the rivers, and they shall not overcome you. You shall walk through the fire and not be burned. So now we have, back in Isaiah, the word overcome again. And so we need to know who these people are, and now we need to know what is it that they're overcoming. This whole chapter, chapter 43, is about Israel's only Savior. And it's talking specifically here to the remnant, the chosen, the covenant. And this verse in Revelation is written to the church of Pergamum. And while they got mostly good report, there was still some idol worship and some immorality going on among them. But this particular verse, it's also referring to the remnant. Those are part of the covenant as well. Study the wording here if you don't believe me. What does it say? Referring to the manna given to the chosen people for the provision in the Old Testament. It's what we have here in Revelation. That those who conquer or overcome will receive this manna and a white stone with a new name on it. So now we have the who. This group of people are those in the covenant, the remnant. This group of people are us. We are given a new name and a new identity, a new life and a new future. We are His. We're His. So what are we overcoming? Let's keep connecting things up here. Water and fire are often used in the Bible as a form of cleansing. For instance, we see the hand washing rituals in the Old Testament that declared someone clean. They would have to dip their hands into the water 3 times to be declared clean. We also have burnt offerings that declared somebody forgiven of sins in the Old Testament. So with that in mind, let's not forget, though, that we're reading from Isaiah. This is not the book of the law. This is a prophet. And so you have to read this in such a way that it's prophecy. And so these words have prophetical meanings. The waters and rivers here in Scripture, the waters were used for cleansing. What were the rivers used for in the New Testament? Baptisms. And He will be with us. But now we also have fire walking through it and not being burned and the flame not consuming us. So we have 2 forms of cleansing here. Now usually in Scripture when you see them talking, I don't want to bore you, I'm sorry, but we have to get through this. Usually in Scripture when you have waters and fire talking about cleansing and something supernatural and something beautiful happening, they're separate. It's either talking about you're getting cleansed with water or you're getting forgiven for these burnt offerings. But here, they're together. This is not coincidental. When was the world cleansed with water? Noah in the ark. He told Noah to build an ark. But what else did he say? He said, I'm going to send a flood to flood the world. And what else did he say? I will be with you and your family on the ark. But now we have the fire. When will God cleanse the world with fire? Revelation chapter 20. Fire will come down from heaven and consume them. This referring to the defeat of Satan and the ungodly numbered like the sand of the sea. This is what we're overcoming. We're overcoming this present world, but we're also overcoming the destruction that was and the destruction that will be. Because we are here. Because God saved Noah and was with him. And we will be in eternity because God saved us from the destruction of the world. Do you see how all of this is connected now? It's through this new name, it's through God calling us His, that we are not just going to be okay, but we are going to overcome the evil of this world and the death and destruction by the grace and the glory of God. Let's break these verses down. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, your Savior, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made this prophecy. This prophecy. And all these eyes in me and mine. They're God. God is the I. And you are the you. The day will come when all of the offspring shall be called by his name and created for his glory, will be brought together for eternity of perfection and reunited as a family with one holy Father who not only created us, who not only provides for us, who not only gives us a new name, but who died to make it all possible. He loves you. He redeemed you. He created you. He has given you a new name. Is that what you believe? Do you believe it? This is part of the adoption. It's part of being reborn into the kingdom that God has a specific name for you, a new name that only you will be able to see. You are that special in the sight of God that he's going to give you a name that only you and him know. No one else knows it. Think about that for a minute. It's not because of who you are. It's not because of what you do or don't do. It's because of the eyes. It's because of what he has done, is doing, and going to do in your life and with your soul. Being a Christian is far bigger than you and I could ever think. It's more than just saying a prayer and getting forgiveness and coming to church each week. It's eternity. It's a complete and different identity change and name change. You were reborn. You were made new. You are not the same as you were. And he is in full control. He has named you, and you are his, and no weapon on earth and no demon in hell can change that. And guess what? You can't change it either. You are not your own. You are safe in the nail-pierced hands of God himself. You want further proof? Let's look no further than the books of Isaiah and Revelation that we're in. Isaiah 62 and Revelation 3 proves this point perfectly. It says, the nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give you. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken. You and your land shall be no more termed desolate, but you will be called my delight. Your land will be married, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry. You, as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. You're not a small little bubble of a person. You're a part of a kingdom. One day you'll be a pillar, a leader. This is what you were made for. This is who you are. The world may call us bigots. They may call us hypocrites and fools. But the holy hands of God have reached out of time and space and touched your lips. Jesus didn't just move heaven and earth to be with you. He moved heaven to earth to be with you. To touch your soul. The Holy Spirit isn't an invisible ghost, but He is breathing life in us and causing us to live and move and have our being. This is what we were made for. This is who we are. The name of the Most Holy rests upon you. That while you were an enemy of Him, the very one that you cursed with your sin came out of heaven and reaching out and touching your soul and writing the name of God on you. The very name of Christ, the very name of Christ is yours. If you're a part of the covenant and the remnant and a believer, it's yours. It's your inheritance. Don't let anyone tell you different. And don't believe any different. For the hand of God formed you, the lips of God named you, and the blood of Jesus saved you, and the kingdom awaits you. Now, live like you believe this, and show the world the truth of who you're made of. Not just here, but outside. Because there will come a day when Jesus will come back, when He will call us all home, when He will gather us together again as a family. And that day will come. And you'll be given a stone, and your name will be on it. And no one will know it but you. And God, you're that special, not because of what you've done, not because of who you are, but because of His glory and His grace bestowed upon you. Do you believe it? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us a new name, for calling us into your kingdom, and giving us perfect peace and rest. That if we ever, ever face death for your name, we can smile. We can look our executioner in the eye. And consider Him a blessing. Because you, O God, looked your executioners in the eye. And you forgave them. So may your eternal kingdom and your everlasting love dwell within us forever and ever. And may our new name bring you glory and praise and honor for all eternity long. In Jesus' name, amen.